warm welcome again in their service tonight. And we just thank the Lord for his goodness to each and every one of us. And appreciate the Lord that we could have this place for to meet. Amen. Praise God. Don't overdo it, my enthusiasm. Well, I'll tell you, I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm back in church.
Amen.
Praise God. And I'll tell you, it's wonderful how the world worked. The pubs were open, brave and quick. You know, I was thinking this morning, people said you can't sing in church. I was thinking about that this morning when I went home. And we did sing, by the way. But, you know, imagine saying to a man in the world, we're going to the pub tonight, but you're not allowed to drink. What he would say to you? He would say to you, if you're not allowed to drink when you go to the pub tonight, what's the point going to the pub? You go to the pub to drink. We've come to the house of the Lord to praise the Lord.
Amen.
And to worship the Lord and to magnify his name. And I don't think anybody's going to die if I praise him.
Amen.
Hopefully we'll live. Amen.
Amen.
And we do thank the Lord this morning for the Lord's presence. And I can tell you that the Lord has touched people during the lockdown as people's got saved. There's one man here this morning that's come back to the Lord. And he was telling me this morning, and there's others as well, that the Lord's healed. And God has been moving. And I thank God that he's been moving. And just to reiterate, Monday night I'll be here from 9 o'clock on Tuesday night. Then we'll have a prayer and Bible study Wednesday night. And I'll be here again Thursday night for a special time of prayer. I know that I'm not expecting everyone to come, but if one or two comes, that'll be enough. But I will say, if you have something specific you want us to pray for, I want you to write it down and leave it here tonight on a piece of paper. And we're going to come and pray and we're going to be specific. And I think that I'm going to tick up on some of the things I used to do. And I used to have the attitude that pray them in. And I think that's the attitude we need to have again. Pray them in. And we need to pray for our families and our loved ones that God will save them. Every one of them. Pray them in. Prayer works. And for the backslidden, the Lord will restore them. Praise God. Well, the Lord bless each one tonight. And for those listening in, I didn't know whether to do the live broadcast or not. There's so many listening and it's not from here. There's about 100 listens on the church one. I don't know all who's listening. And then I thought if I have it, some will not come. They'll stay at home and watch it. So I thought just to go ahead, we'll do both anyhow. And God's word will not return void, praise God. So the Lord bless each and every one that's made an effort to come out tonight. And those that are tuned in live, the Lord bless you. And I see there's quite a few tuned in. And we want to appreciate our brethren in Adelaide and Australia for all their help at this time. And for all the different brethren tuned in over the world, the Lord bless each and every one of them, praise God. Let us turn in our Bibles tonight to 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I won't keep you long this evening. And I want to have our Sunday night as a gospel service, and we just thank the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord, how many believe the Spirit of the Lord moved in here this morning? Well, you know it did. The Holy Spirit really moved, and God touched people. And we thank the Lord. Let's stand our feet while we read one verse of 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation that Christ Jesus come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief.
Amen.
Let us just bow for a word of prayer tonight, praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you this evening for your precious word. We know that your word will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish that which you sent it to do and prosper in it. We pray indeed, as our brothers pray, that thou indeed will bless thy word till each and every one that will hear it tonight. Give us an ear to hear, we pray. And Lord, as we preach the gospel, we pray that thou will stretch thy arm forth with mighty signs and wonders and miracles in the name of thy holy child Jesus. Father, we know except the Lord build the house, they that
Father, I pray tonight that you'll touch hearts and lives. You know the very secrets of the heart. And Lord, let nobody be offended for the gospel. But may hearts be touched tonight by the power and the love of God. And may men and women be saved and healed and delivered. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. God bless each one this evening. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I want to take for a text tonight for a few moments the glorious gospel. And I believe the gospel is glorious. And I want us to see, firstly, there's the announcement of this text. Praise God. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's the reason that Jesus Christ came. He came to save sinners. The whole don't need a physician. It is a sick that need a physician. It is a sinner that needs a Savior. And Christ is a Savior for no one but sinners. And John, when he saw Jesus coming, said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Praise God. So Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Now there's three things I want to briefly look at this evening, prominent in this scripture tonight. There is a Savior, there is a sinner, and then there is a salvation. So first of all, we need to see the person of the Savior. And many people don't know the person of the Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ, they don't really know him. And you know when Jesus' disciples were asked, "Whom do men say that I am?" They had all different answers, haven't they? They didn't say you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. That never happened right away. Some of them said you're that. Some of them said you're one of the prophets. But Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And you know the voice from heaven said, "Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father which art in heaven." So Peter knew who Jesus was by revelation. He didn't know by his own knowledge or his own thinking. And salvation, it takes the Spirit of God to save a man. It takes the Spirit of God to heal a man. And thank God for the Spirit of God. Now the person of the Savior is the foundation stone of everything, of all of our hopes, of all our beliefs. The person of the Savior. Upon that person depends the usefulness of our gospel. If I was preaching to you tonight about an ordinary man, there'll be nothing to it. But the strength of the gospel is because of the person of the gospel. And the person of the gospel is not an ordinary man. But the person of the gospel is a God-man. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord from glory. The one who left the glory and splendor of heaven above. The one who took upon him the form of a man. The one who set his face as a flint to go up to Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's the person of the gospel that I'm preaching to you about tonight. I tell you, there's no other message. Really has a message without this person. There is no message of the gospel. When you leave this person out, you've no message. There's a lot of people that are preaching different things. But if you're not preaching Christ, Paul said that I might know nothing else amongst you, save Jesus Christ. Amen. And him crucified. Amen. It's the person of the gospel. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, should someone arise and preach a Savior who was a mere man, it would be no use, but absolutely useless. He would be unworthy of our hopes, and the salvation preached would be inadequate of what we need. Because there's no man can save another man. Want you to get that tonight. We have to be saved with the highest life form there was. Our
Moses was a prophet and Moses failed. Moses struck the rock when he should have spoke to the rock. There's every one of them. A man said to me, I can show faults to all. And I said, yes, they're there for a reason. And I tell you, every man, you can look at any man and you can see a fault. And you can look at me and see a fault. But I tell you, if you're looking at me, you're looking at the wrong one. If you're looking at your brother, you're looking at the wrong one. It is the person of the Savior you need to look at. Your gaze needs to be upon the Lord. And I tell you, there's no faults in him. There's no mistakes in him. There's no weaknesses in him. The lovely person of the Savior, and he is prophet, priest, and king. I tell you, our hopes wouldn't be very much without this person of the Savior. Salvation preached would be inadequate if it wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if someone preached to us of a great angelic being, it would be of no use. There's no angel can come in this room tonight and save you or me. You said the angel could come and help me, come, yes, but he could never die for you on the cross. And even if God used an angel to do something, it was ultimately God behind it, for it's by the stripes of Jesus Christ we're healed, not by an angel. God uses angels, God sends angels. We believe in angels. But the song says God searched through all of heaven, and he couldn't find one willing to go. No angel could come to save us. And we're not here to preach about an angel. We're here to preach about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And repeated upon the person of the Savior rests the whole of salvation. All of salvation. If he is not able, if he be not commissioned to perform the work, then indeed the work itself is worthless to us and falls short of the sign of the Savior can't do it. But when we preach the gospel, we must show one so wonderful, one so loving, one so great, one so mighty, one so well adapted to our needs, that it is evident that he was prepared of old to meet our deepest wants. And we know that Jesus Christ had come into the world to save sinners. Praise God. I remember, you know, when Philip here was working on a job, and I remember the first time he got saved. And he only got saved once, by the way. You can't get saved twice. Once saved, always saved. Now, the Lord saves us every day. We know that. But when you're really saved, you're always saved. We know that. But you know, when he got saved and we worked in a certain place, and this old boy said, so you're not a sinner then? And Philip turned around as quick as you like. He says, I am a sinner saved by grace. Amen. And I tell you, we're sinners saved by God's grace. It's the grace of God that saves sinners. Thank God for that grace. He was the son of the highest. Luke 1:32. He shall be great and shall be called the son of the highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So this man Jesus is the son of the highest. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and believed on in the world and received up to glory. I tell you, this man Jesus is no ordinary man. Let me read you this statement. He was more than a man. He was the God man. He was God, that man. He was personifying himself here in his son. God was himself in him. It's God's dwelling. Look at him. He was man truly. When he was crying, he was a man. But when he raised the dead, he was God. And you know the story, for the woman came to William Branham and she said, William Branham, you're making far too much of Jesus. impossible. And you know what God said, that which is impossible, man, is possible with God. Let God undertake a work and it can meet no failure. Jesus was not just a man, he was God, the very God, manifested in the flesh, the God-man. The name given to Jesus suggests something of his person. The name given to him. He is called in our text, Christ Jesus. Amen. Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus come into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus. The two words mean the anointed Savior. He was the anointed Savior, Christ Jesus. The anointed Savior. Jesus could say in Luke's Gospel, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel and to bring deliverance to the captives. The anointed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God. The anointed Savior came into the world to save sinners. Hebrews 2 verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Lowered even lower than the angels, so that he could taste death for every man. He left the highest throne of glory, and he came down to the manger, to mankind. I tell you, Jesus said, the foxes have holes, the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He lowered himself so low. And I tell you, imagine the Lord of all glory laying in a manger with the animals. That's how humble he was. He grows up life in the garden. He sweats great drops of blood. He sets his face as a flint to go up to Calvary. Suffered and died and bled for me and you. Look at the words above his cross. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Now I want to tell you, and I haven't time tonight to go into it, but there was three different writings about Christ on the cross. Did you know that? And there was three different writings in three different languages for a reason. And they all passed by the cross when they were coming to visit because of the time of year it was. I think I did preach on it some years ago. This man was the Son of God, the brightness of his Father's glory, the express image of the Father. John 17:5, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. You have no Buddha and Muhammad in there. Neither Buddha or Muhammad can say they were with the Father before the world was. They never existed before the world was. But Jesus Christ was in the bosom of the Father and existed with the Father before the world was. The Bible goes further and says all things were made by him and for him. And without him was not anything made that's made. Philippians 2 verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. This is the only man that can save to the utmost all that come unto him. This is the only man that can do it. This then is the person of the Savior. Now I want you also to see tonight the sinner. And I tell you, every one of us was born sinners by nature, born sinners by birth. But our text says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to save sinners. But a sinner can never be saved till he knows he's a sinner. If you couldn't swim and I threw you in a lake of water, I'd tell you you'd grasp for the first thing you could get, wouldn't you? A very straw, you'd grasp for a straw. A drowning man, they say, will grasp for a straw. And for people to get saved, they need to know that they need salvation. And they need a grasp for the Lord for salvation to be saved. The Savior came to save sinners. Who did the Savior die for on the cruel cross? Sinners. God so loved the world. Praise God. He came into the world to save sinners. Princes or beggars, there's no difference in God's sight. No difference. You know, because somebody's got a lot in life or somebody's a less in life, it's no different in God's eyes. A matter of fact, you could take the Bible and go to Luke's Gospel and you could see Lazarus and the rich man. And the rich man, the Bible says, served sumptuously And people don't realise there's a hell. But the rich man lifted his eyes up out of hell because he was an unrepentant sinner. And sinners don't go to hell. It's unrepentant sinners that go to hell. That's who goes to hell. And hell's real. And the Bible says, for the worm dieth not and the fire's not quenched. But Jesus came to save man from hell. This message is plain and clear. Who did he come to save? Sinners. That means there are hopes for every man. There's hopes for every woman. Every man, every woman can be saved. There's no such thing as been too far gone with the Lord. You know, it's still worse to get a religious person saved than it is a real heathen. Because the religious person thinks he is somebody. When you go to the funerals around the country and they bury people, and my goodness, when you hear them talking about them, you wouldn't know who they're talking about. It's true what an old lady said. She said, I don't know the man the minister's talking about at all. It wasn't the man I was married to. But I'll tell you, you'd think to hear them that everybody's going to heaven. But I want to tell you, friend, tonight that everybody's not going to heaven, that the Christ rejecter will not be going to heaven, he'll be going to hell. It's only those that trust in the Savior that's going to heaven. And Jesus wants to save the sinner, but the sinner must receive him. He must acknowledge him and receive him. Hopes for everyone. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 to 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers or adulterers or effeminate or abusers of themselves of mankind. And I tell you, not matter if they fly the rainbow, if they're not repentant, they're still lost. The word of God's clear. Nor thieves, nor covenant, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Look at verse 11. And such were some of you. Praise God. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Aren't you glad tonight the Lord's cleaned us? Aren't you glad tonight the Lord's washed us? Washed us with his blood. Washed us whiter than the snow. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There have been the greatest blackguards. Now you mightn't hear that word much today. You see, modern language, I don't like some of it. An alcoholic, no, he's a drunkard. He's not an alcoholic, he's a drunkard. A druggie, a drug addict. And I tell you, God can save the drunkard. God can save the drug addict. God can save anybody that'll come to them, for he's a savior for sinners. That's why the message is a message, the gospel is a message of hope, the good news that Jesus saves sinners. You know, the people that near 100 years of age, the Lord saved sinners. Did you know that? I've had the privilege of leading old people to the Lord. I remember in Czechoslovakia, I was strictly warned, strictly told that. Do you ever get a good town laugh? Now, I know some of you do, and again, I'm sure. But I got a telling off. We were going to this house, and I was told off not to preach when I got there, to keep my mouth shut. But that was never going to happen. There's times when you do need to be quiet, but there's times when people tell you to keep quiet, that you need to open your mouth. And I went and I was told, don't be preaching. And these ladies, the grandmother of this certain woman, she was a very old woman, and I shared with her the gospel, and she came to Christ. And then they took me to the grandmother on the other side of the family, and the parents told me the same thing, but I shared the gospel with her as well, and she came to Christ. I remember staying in a home in Switzerland, and the woman in the home was saved, and her husband was saved, and her mother lived with them. And the mother and the husband took me aside, and they said, Brother Tom, do not preach to my mother. Everybody that comes here preaches to her, she's sick of it. letter to the Lord almost 90 years of age. God can save anybody. And I tell you, we need to have a vision for the lost. We need to have a vision for men and women to be saved. And if someone's listening in this message tonight, maybe you're near 100 years of age and you've never been saved, Jesus loves you still and he can save you. Maybe you've spent your whole life away from God. Maybe you've spent your whole life as an atheist. But the Lord can still save you and the Lord can still deliver you, for the Lord loves you. Jesus Christ, a faithful saint, worthy of all expectation, that Jesus Christ came into this world. He came for the purpose to save. That's why he came. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Revelations 1 verse 5. And I'm finishing in 5 minutes. I'm not going to bore you to a big, long, drawn out sermon. Revelations 1 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I tell you, Jesus can save sinners. You're looking at a man that was just as big a sinner as anybody, but the Lord saved him. You know, I never forget it, and I know I tell this story often, and I'm going to tell it again. And I pray this poor wee woman will get saved, that she'll get rid of religion and she'll get the Savior. She more or less asked me my testimony, and I told her my testimony. I was in a bakery and she was stirring up the hot chocolate. Nice big bowl of it. Now you imagine in a bakery it's a lot of chocolate because it's for a lot of buns and cakes. And I told her how I got saved and she said, "That's great, Tommy, but you says I never was a sinner." And I says, "Margaret, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says all our righteousness is filthy rags." And she just tipped the chocolate up straight over my head. She didn't want to hear that. She wanted to hear that she was a great wee woman. Well, she could have been the best wee woman there was, and she was a good woman, but she wasn't saved. And I want to tell you, being a good woman, being a good man, it's wonderful, that's good. Don't stop being a good person, but being a good person won't fit you for heaven. It's only the person of Christ that can save you and fit you for heaven. Only the Savior can fit you for heaven. This is my last thought. Salvation. This is what this message is about, salvation. There's the Lord that brings us salvation. There's no salvation in a lodge, and there's no salvation in a church either. Salvation is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You could be a member of a church, a member of a lodge, a member of anything you want, and still be lost. You need to be a member of the firstborn. And to be a member of the firstborn, you need to baptize the one spirit into one body. The Spirit of the Lord into the body, the mystical body of Jesus Christ. That's the true church. You need to be saved. Salvation, you know what it means? It means deliverance from sin and the consequences of sin. So once you're saved, you're not just delivered from sin. You're not just forgiven. You are saved from your sin of your past, sin of your present, sin of your future. That's what the blood of Jesus does. Past, present, future sin. It deals with it all. His blood does that. It goes further. But you're also delivered from the consequences of your sin, which was death. For Paul says, death shall have no more dominion over you. Now we know Jesus could come in the rapture and the catching up. And we can be changed. 1 Thessalonians 4:15. Changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We mightn't see death. But if you do physically see death, it's just the death of this body. It's not the death of the real you. You live on. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. I tell you, Jesus is coming again. This world's in some state. This world's in a terrible condition.
that needs the gospel more than ever. The gospel.
And we need God to come and confirm that gospel with signs and with wonders following. Salvation, deliverance from the from sin and its consequences. Salvation is also redemption. Redemption. Gaining possession of something in exchange for a payment. And Jesus Christ paid for you, and he paid for me to the cross. He paid for us. And I'm closing in this scripture, 1 Peter 1 chapter 8, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I tell you, there's a lot of tradition people don't realize. Did you realize that? There's tradition with them. There's men who never receive because of tradition. My father wore a certain badge or a certain thing, and he passes it on down to him and down to somebody else, and he must wear it and so forth and so on, and all that's good, but it'll never save. That's tradition. There's some things from our forefathers we shouldn't take. We need to get rid of it. We need to leave it at the cross. And we need to come to Jesus Christ. A Savior for no one but sinners. This is a worthy sign. Worthy of all expectation. That Christ Jesus come into the world to save sinners. Now I know most of you here tonight in this room that's saved. But if you're listening into this broadcast tonight, I don't know where this message will go. You could be surprised where it will go. But I tell you, Jesus can save you. And he can change you. And he can deliver you. And he can set you free by the power of his blood and by the power of his name. It is the person of Christ you need to come to. Not the organization of a church membership, but the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to fall in love with the Lord. And those of us that are saved, we need to fall in love with the Lord afresh every single day. We need to love him because he first loved us. God bless you tonight. Let's stand to our feet. Well, every head's bowed and every eye closed this evening. If there's someone listening in tonight and you're not saved, you can know the Savior. You can come to the Lord. You can be saved. The Bible's clear. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. By simply calling upon the name of the Lord. My friend, this evening I want to challenge you. I want to ask you to come. I want you to come to Jesus Christ, not to the lodge, not to an organization. Don't try and get good in him. Come as you are. The Lord will take you as you are. And he'll take you right now. I'm going to pray for salvation, and I'm going to pray for healing as well. I believe he's a healer as well as he's a Savior. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ tonight, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. And I pray, Lord, if there's a man or a woman that's heard the gospel tonight that's not saved, may you grant them the sight and grace, and may you save them in Jesus' precious name. Father, I ask for those this evening, maybe in hearts in this very room, praying for some dear one. Father, we lift them all before you tonight. And we ask in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, that thou would touch that man, touch that woman, touch that boy, touch that girl. Cover them with your precious blood and heal them in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, bless your own people that's here tonight. Bless your own people that's listening in tonight. Cover every one of them with your blood. Bless all the nurses, all the doctors. Lord, cover them all with your precious blood. in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless each and every one tonight. Don't forget Wednesday night, 7:30. And anyone wants to join me for prayer this week, 9 to 10, come along. And if you have a request, write it down. And we're going to take a week of prayer. Praise God. God bless you all.
Let's see the first three verses just. Or number three. Well, I'll sing the first three verses then, if it's not in the name of the
Amen.